you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That was Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2026. Welcome to today's edition of Mark and Friends. Those verses from Romans reminds us of God's great love, grace, and desire to draw people to himself. Today's program takes us to a message delivered a week ago Sunday, during a Holy Spirit night gathering at Vineyard Church in Urbana. After about 45 minutes of worship, Pastor Mike Yoder opens the evening by talking about Christian unity and the importance of believers from different churches coming together around the one thing that unites us all, Jesus Christ. He then introduces Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church, who shares a powerful message about our God-given identity as image-bearers of God, our calling to be his witnesses, and the amazing truth that throughout history, God has continually moved closer to his people. If we truly believe Jesus is who he says he is, it should change everything about how we live. Let's join this special gathering now as Pastor Mike shares some opening thoughts and then introduces Pastor Jason Epperson on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Well, I'm so excited that you are here on Holy Spirit Night. If I've not met you or you don't know who I am, my name is Mike Yoder. I am the senior pastor here at the Vineyard along with my wife, Julie. And we are just so excited. These are some of our favorite nights to gather. If you've not been here before, this is just a night set aside for worship, for ministry, for a word that we'll hear in a minute. And I just want to assure you, we are not done worshiping. I know, just making sure. There is more. But if you've been here before, we're mixing up the schedule a little bit. So we are going to hear from just a moment from our guest who's going to speak and share. And I'm really excited about that. So I am excited for tonight. One of the things that's so amazing about Holy Spirit Night is it has become a gathering, not just of our church here at the Vineyard, but really it's been an ecumenical gathering, which just means it's a gathering of many from many different places and many different churches and many different walks of life. And I just have loved to see God build that unity as we gather together, because the one thing that we can all agree on is Jesus. There may be many different places that we land on Sunday morning. There may be many different places and places we're serving in different times. But the one thing that brings the body of Christ together is Christ. It's Jesus. And that is the thing that we can unify around. And one of the things that's been such a huge blessing to me and to us here in our church is for about a little over the last year, we've been gathering together with about four or five other churches who we gathered and just said, hey, you know what? We think God wants us to be an example of what unity can look like. I think the way we start with that is we start by praying together. We start by gathering and surrendering to him. And so for about the last four or five months, we've been doing that with our church, not just as lead pastors, but actually with our entire staffs. And once a month, we are going to each other's churches and we're just praying together. And we're just spending time. And it's been one of the most encouraging things to me over the last year and a half. And God has been doing amazing things, but this has been such an encouragement. And tonight we have the privilege of hearing from the lead pastor of CU Church. We got any CU Church? I know we got some family at CU Church. Family around here? Amen. I got to start first. I just want to brag on you guys, your church, and your pastor. I am so blessed by the ways that I see CU Church going after serving our community, the incredible generosity that is always displayed, and the heart to see the kingdom lifted up above all else. Before this, I was praying over Pastor Jason, and I felt that God just gave me this word. I said, when I look at him, I think the word I get is no barriers. And he's somebody that every time that I have a conversation with Jason, there is always the first thing that's most important is the kingdom lifted up. The kingdom is more important than any platform. It's more important than any territory. And I have been so encouraged, and it's been one of the things that has helped encourage me to say, hey, I want to be somebody who is always saying, the kingdom is number one. Not my church, not a platform, not a place, but it's the church. And I love the scripture in Romans that talks about that we're one body and many members, that we all have different things. We think about those giftings like, oh, each of us is gifted in different ways to make the body. We often think about that in the context of one church, like a church. But God's really talking about his church, the Big C church. And it takes all of us. It takes every church in this community and far beyond. And I know that there's many who are represented here that are far beyond even the Champaign-Urbana and surrounding communities. It takes every single one of us if we want to see people know Jesus. If we want to see more people know Jesus in more places. Because when his kingdom comes, that's when hope comes. That's when joy comes. That's when peace comes. That's when depression is lifted off. That's when people are delivered. That's when there is freedom for the captives. Because that's what Jesus did. And I am so excited for you guys to hear tonight from Pastor James Epperson. So would you welcome him as he comes up to share a word with us? Would you just join me as I just pray for Jason? Holy Spirit, I am so thankful for you tonight. I'm thankful, God, for what you are doing. And that tonight we get to focus on you. And I'm so thankful for a brother in Christ who carries the kingdom first and a heart for the gospel, a heart for the kingdom. And so, Lord, would you just bless his words tonight and bring us revelation and open our ears to what you want to share through him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks. Man, y'all, it's good to be with you. When I was worshiping with you, there was like this picture that God gave me. A picture, it was literally me walking into my house. And in the picture, it was like the father. Does that make sense? I'm a father. I have four kids. All four of my kids are very different. I have a 9-year-old and I've got a 20-year-old. I've got basically elementary school to college in my house. And when I walk in the house, if I would tell them something or if they were excited about something, all four of them would react differently because they're all four different kids. One of my kids, if something really exciting happened, the level of excitement he would show would be a smile and a nod and a thank you. And another one of my kids literally might jump up and down. He might shout, he might cry, he might hug me, he might kiss me on the cheek. Another one of my kids might drop to their knees in excitement, and my youngest son might just bop his head and shake it a little bit. But man, there's nothing that a father desires more than to see his kids express themselves in a way that they were created to express themselves. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being willing to express yourselves in the God-given way he has imaged you to show the world his glory. And it's okay when it's different. My kid that jumps up and down isn't greater than my head bobber. My head bobber's not greater than my man who just likes to shake it a little bit. But the truth is, I guess today before we start is, just like my children, just like you in this room, we're created to image. In the very beginning when he created us in his what? Image. Sin came in, it screwed it up, y'all. But then God made a promise, and our role never changed, even though the situation did. The situation, sin came in, pain came in, cancer came in, depression came in, anxiety came in, struggles came in, abandonment came in. But our purpose didn't change. Our purpose is still the same. It's to be the image bearer. We see that all throughout the Bible. We see Jacob as he wrestles with the man of God. That's on the left side of your Bible in the Old Testament. And as Jacob wrestles with the man of God and he wrestles with this man of God, he wakes up the next morning with a limp. And the next thing you see Jacob do is he literally says this phrase. It's like, I'm never going to get closer to God than this. I got to build an altar, because he wants to image God. He wants to experience God. Literally, God breathed on him. Been there? And so he builds this altar and he thinks, I'm never going to get closer to God than this. But then God looks at Jacob just like God looks at us. And this is what he says. Hey, bro, I'm going to get closer. Man, then we see Moses. We see God's people, these image bearers who've been enslaved, who've been corrupted, who are worshiping false gods, who are bowing down to idols, who pay attention to things that never fulfill them. They can't fulfill their dreams, their aspirations. They go to bed at night wondering why they exist. They wake up in the morning angry. They're depressed. They're anxious. They're oppressed. And in that moment, God hears their cry. And when God hears their cry, a bush lights up and says to Moses, hey, bro, I hear the cries of my people. You need to be my image bearer and go get them out. And Moses is thinking, I'm never going to get closer to God than in this moment. Like, God's in the bush. It ain't burning up. He's talking to me. Moses is like, I'm taking off my shoes. I'm on holy ground. Like, this is as good as it gets. And God's like, man, I'm going to get closer. We see him at a Red Sea. We see a cloud by day. We see a fire by night. We see the waters part. We see him cross. We see him go up on a mountain. We see the day of Pentecost, the first one, not the second one. We're getting there. And on the first one, he gives him the law. And when he gives him the law in that moment, Moses, I promise you, is thinking, man, this word now is going to become our identity. And I'm never going to get closer to God than this. And then God looks at Moses. He's like, Moses, my image, I'm going to get closer. Then he's got this thing called a tabernacle. It's like God's RV. Brother just rolled around, like literally, he went everywhere with him. They go into this moment and Moses has to come out and he's so close to God, y'all. Like, he's so close to God that when he walks away, he like radiates who God is, so he has to veil his face. And Moses is like, I'm never going to get closer to God than this. I'm never going to image God more than this. Literally, he reflects on me. And God's like, Moses, I'm going to get closer. Then they build this thing called the temple, and there's this place called the Holy of Holies, and there's a curtain that separates, and on the outside of the curtain, Josephus writes that there's a depiction of creation. Creation is separate from God. And all of a sudden, this high priest would tie a rope around his leg and a bell around his waist. He would go behind the curtain, and when he went behind the curtain, he thought in his mind, I'll never be closer to God than this. But God whispers into his ear. He whispers into his image bearer's ear, no, I want to get closer. And then the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then identity, a nation's identity was born into this world. And he walked and he talked and he lived and he breathed and he held their hands and he touched a leper and he healed a woman. He defended a prostitute. He stood and walked on water. He calmed a storm. He fed 5,000. Y'all, there's like lists and lists and lists and lists. And the whole time, if we were chilling with him, we'd be thinking, I ain't ever getting closer to God than this. Brother's like holding my hand. He's touching my face. Then he goes to a cross. He dies on a cross. When he dies on the cross, that curtain is torn. Now we don't have to go behind it anymore. And God is loosed. And we think in the moment, we're never going to get closer to God than this. When he literally is ascending into heaven, when he's ascending into heaven, he says, hey, you go be my image bearer. You go be my witness. And when you go be my witness, you go be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Like, okay, okay. But then it happens a couple days after, about 40. They're celebrating the moment Moses received the law. It was called the day of Pentecost. They march into the temple. And then he came down. And when Jesus rose into heaven, they probably thought this. You with me, ladies? Like, they thought, I'm never going to get closer to God than him. I need to jump up and touch his garment as he ascends. But he says what to him? No, I'm going to get closer. And then the Holy Spirit comes down. They speak in tongues. They prophesy. They heal. There is this movement of God. And God literally dwells inside the hearts of men and women. And in that moment, they think, just like in this moment, we think, we're never going to get closer to God than this. He made the holiest place on earth. It is not a building. The holiest place on earth is not an Ark of a Covenant. The holiest place on earth is not in Israel. The holiest place on earth is not this room. The holiest place on this earth is right here. It's the dwelling place of God. And we sometimes think, man, how are we going to get closer to God than this? And what he's saying to us tonight in this room is, nah, Jason, nah, Mike, nah, Tom, I'm going to get closer. I know you think that that one moment you had at that camp, that last Holy Spirit night when you jumped into the water and God cleansed you of your sins, the moment that someone prayed over you and a barrier was broken and someone prophesied over you and you received a word that you needed that set you free. I know there's been moments in your life, and those moments in your life, it might even be tonight during worship, that God did something unique and the Holy Spirit like lit you up. And in your brain, you're thinking, I'm never going to get closer to God than this. And hear me say this. The word he said to Jacob, the word he said to Moses, the word he said to a high priest, the word he said to Peter, James, John, the word he said to Mary, the word he said to Esther, the word he says to me and the word he says to you is, no, y'all, listen to me. I'm going to get closer. Isn't that why we walked in here tonight? There's a passage of scripture that I just want to read and talk about really fast. Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. Peter has just confessed. The 12 have just went out. Jesus has just told them he is going to die. And then Jesus says these words, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. He's knocking on the door of your heart, sweet girl. Hey, bro, he's knocking on the door of your heart. And I know you think you've arrived. You think you're close. But there's something in me, and maybe I'm the only one in the room, that needs to die to make more room for him. There's a barrier of unbelief in me. There's an addiction that I flirt with. There's an idea that I'm unwilling to surrender. There's a dream that hasn't died for a new destiny to be born. But the truth is, the creator of the universe wants to get closer. And he gets closer through our death. Through the death of me is where I find life. In this room, we have sold ourselves short. We actually have believed a lie into thinking that death to the things that I think will satisfy me, which how well is that working for you? But see, the death to those things doesn't diminish. Y'all think about it now. He has equipped and called and given you more capacity than you could ever imagine. And the Spirit of living God desires to do things in you, through you, around you, and with you that will blow your mind. And we want to settle for stuff. We want to settle for a false relationship. We want to settle for more comfort. Girls, you are more precious than you could ever know. Don't settle for anything but him. Fellas, when you look in that mirror and you know there's something in you that no one else can see, and the only way you can step into that isn't by trying to achieve something. It's not trying to behave different. It is the surrender of something broken in you that Jesus can become and help you become who you have been created to be, that warrior. But that happens in surrender. Moms, dads, husbands, wives, singles, you've been trying to do it on your own. You've been trying to behave your way into good relationships. And you know and I know that Disney rerun ain't working. The same Holy Spirit that leads you in this room as you worship is the same Holy Spirit that wants to lead you in your home, wants to lead you in your workplace, and wants to lead you in your neighborhood. So tonight, the band's going to come up, and tonight as we worship, tonight as we sing, there's one more question I have. And this is the question that is the question. And I want your eyes. That's what I say to my kids. You guys are like, he keeps looking at us. That's what I say to my kids. I said, I need your eyes. Hey, family, I need your eyes. Do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Because if we do, if you really believe he is the creator and the sustainer and the savior of the world, if you really believe he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, if you really believe he is the only water that satisfies, he's the bread that brings nourishment, he is the vine and we are the branches, if we really believe he is all that he says he is and he is the only thing that satisfies a dry and thirsty world, if we believe that, then what you're surrendering to is wholeness and fulfillment. What you're surrendering to is a taste of heaven on this earth. What you're surrendering to is a life of purpose, a life of pleasure, a life of recklessly chasing after Jesus. You're surrendering to a moment of sometimes hardship, sometimes brokenness, but standing in glory. What you're surrendering to is him. Tonight, as we continue to worship, If there are barriers in your world that you need prayed over to come down, you can pray together with friends and family. You can come over here and pray with a discerning praying team with you to pray over you. Listen, I know what it is to not even know how to have relationship. It ain't easy for me either, but I ain't quitting. I'm gonna keep chasing. I'm gonna keep surrendering. I'm gonna keep allowing the barriers to come down in my heart, because hear me say this, students. Hear me say this in the back. You can't get away from me now. Hear me say this. He wants to get closer. Father, thank you that you want to get close to us. Thank you for a spirit of peace that is sweeping through this room. Thank you that I don't have the ability to speak into the hearts of men and women, but the words that you're speaking, Lord, let them know they're from you, not from me. God, I pray in these next moments that not only individual barriers will come down, but the territories of evil that have separated churches and schools and any place that you desire to see transformed, I pray you tear those barriers. Lord, it's one church. We just sing different songs, Lord. Bring your healing. Bring your comfort, bring your power. If we need the limp walking away to understand your glory, then let us walk with that limp. But Lord, let us be a people that surrender because you want to get closer. In Jesus' most precious name I pray, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Amen and amen. What an encouraging reminder to draw closer to Jesus through surrender and to remember that we are loved and that our identity is found in Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, we see a God who continually pursues his people, a God who desires relationship, not mere religion, a God who moves towards us with grace, mercy, and love. Pastor Jason challenged us to ask an important question. Is there something in our lives that needs to be surrendered so there can be more room for Jesus? The same Holy Spirit who works in moments of worship also desires to lead us in our homes, our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, and our everyday lives. Thank you for joining me for this special edition of Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, would like to listen to it again, or pass it along to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. And Lord willing, tomorrow we'll welcome Pastor Mike Yoder into the studio as he shares more of his faith journey, life story, testimony, and how God has been working through Vineyard Church and beyond. Until next time, keep drawing near to God and discover that he is already drawing near to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.